When was the last time you looked up? I don't mean looked up at a building, at trees, or at the clock on a Friday afternoon. I mean sat back, took a deep breath, and thought about what's out there. For many, the never-ending night sky holds a vast wealth of fascination and intrigue, a bottomless pit of unanswered questions, unfathomable scale, and sheer mystery. For some, outer space is more than a passing thought, more than a hobby even. In fact, it borders on an obsession. And we're lucky here on the Isle of Man, lucky enough to have an array of brilliant vantage points from which to gaze, when the clouds allow us to, of course. There's one place in particular which really does give us Manxies a gateway to the galaxies. Hello, by the way, I'm Dolan Mercer, and welcome to A Night at the Observatory. Did you know? In 2010, the Isle of Man was named the fifth most likely nation to put the next man on the moon. Only the United States, Russia, China, and India were thought to be more likely. There's a thriving space sector here, with several companies working in the aerospace engineering industry, for example, but also international telecommunications and even commercial space travel. Perhaps less well known is there's also a healthy community of people here on the Isle of Man who take an active interest in observing the extraterrestrial. Nestled away somewhere near the Eyrie, near Orchalligan, near Kion Slough, just off the Lubes Road near Foxtel, but most importantly away from built-up areas and the subsequent light pollution, there's an observatory. It's the home and meeting place of the Isle of Man Astronomical Society, which is mostly made up of amateur enthusiasts who give up their time to be inquisitive and find out more. Largely speaking, it's a place not that many people have been to. In fact, I expect a good portion of the Manx public might not know it exists. But recently, the Society started opening its doors to the general public, with one night per month set aside to show people round, talk about what they get up to there, and have a look at some of the equipment. The first one of these nights at the observatory was held on the 30th of October 2020. Limited to 40 people, the open night explored the wonders of space with both the naked eye and the powerful telescope housed at the observatory. Such was the success of the first go, several more were planned, and I was lucky enough to get a ticket to go to round two on Friday the 27th of November. Social Secretary Angela Brideson told me a bit more about the Society and what they get up to.
The Society's been going 31 years now, and over that time we've done quite a lot of things on the Isle of Man. We hold social outreach events where we go out to various parts of the island. There's Oncombe Park, Castletown, Port Erin, Port St Mary. We have social events up here where people can come on a social night and just have a cup of coffee, talk to the members. We have a meeting, which is the first Thursday of each month, and we have various people doing talks through that time. We've been doing the Pie in the Sky trips up to the top of Snaefell. We have seen aurora, we've seen comets, meteors.
What do you find that public interest is like? Are people pretty receptive to try and learn more?
I think people do the best to get interested in astronomy are the children, and we do lots of groups up here for Cubs, Scouts, Brownies. Once you get the children involved in it, hopefully that goes through the rest of their lives. They might drift away from astronomy, but they will come back in later life, like a lot of us do. People have different interests. Some people are interested in just learning about astronomy, hearing the talks and increasing their knowledge. Other people aren't interested in that. They just want to look up, see the stars, see what's in the sky. And to look through our telescope upstairs at a crescent moon with all the craters and everything, it's just gives the wow factor, and it's one of the things we like to hear up here is people looking through for the first time is that word wow, because we know then we've got them hooked and that they'll hopefully go on and get more of an interest in astronomy from that.
definitely something for everybody. And I suppose that's part of the point of these open nights, is to try and encourage people that might not otherwise have taken a more active interest to come and have a look, maybe?
It is, I think, certainly in this particular year where people have been locked down and in their back gardens, certainly there seems to be a lot more interest because people have gone out into their gardens and looked up and maybe wondered what was there. And that has obviously prompted them into finding out a bit more. And we hope that people will come in our direction, certainly, to see a bit more of what we've got to offer up here and certainly increase their knowledge. Hopefully there's a few of us up here that can give a bit more knowledge out to people.
Well, just on that note, what are some of the most frequently asked questions that you get?
One of the things is people tend not to know that the stars move around in the sky and that different times of the year you can see different stars. The circumpolar ones, certainly everybody knows, the Plough, and Orion's just coming up at the moment. So a lot of people don't know just to look up and see what's up there. And once they do, they usually want to find out more. And then the brighter ones, obviously, may be a planet, and they want to learn a bit more about the planets and that as well.
That was Social Secretary Angela Brideson. I mentioned that the open nights are limited to 40 people per trip, and I soon saw why. It's not a big venue, and the dome which houses the telescope quickly gets crowded. Quite aside from the breathtaking views of the Moon and of Mars, the acoustics in the dome itself are like nothing else I've ever experienced. If you've been before, you'll know exactly what I mean. It's very disorientating and takes a little while to get used to. To reduce the congestion a bit, half of those attending go outside for some naked eye stargazing, while the other half look up through the telescope, then the two groups swap over. I went along with very little knowledge about astronomy, no real preconceptions, and definitely no idea what to expect. Frankly, it was fascinating. The weather was poor, it was cold, but I saw more than enough to get the bug. I will be going back. Afterwards, I spoke to Vice Chairman Howard Parkin, a familiar voice to many Manx Radio listeners, of course. So, after the second open night at the observatory, what did he think?
Very successful. We've been overwhelmed. We've been absolutely amazed at how popular they've been for the people wanting to buy tickets for the events. But it is something we wanted to do for some time, and it was a great opportunity to do it because we can sell the tickets and do it that way. And so we put a ceiling of just 40 people on. We've had two now, and the first one was beautiful, clear night. Sadly, tonight that wasn't the case. But we've got a schedule. You saw tonight's, obviously. We've got a different schedule of how we do it, a clear weather option and a cloudy weather option. Yeah. And so what we want to give people is a flavour of what astronomy is all about. I mean, there's lots of historical connections with astronomy. There's lots of links to space with astronomy. But we as a society are very keen for people to learn about the night sky, what's up there, why does it change, what's different. The planets come round, obviously the moon comes round, eclipses, meteor showers, all sorts of things. So it's an awareness. It's almost a heritage. I mean, all of our heritage about the landscape and the history of the Isle of Man. But astronomy has got just as important a part to play because people have been looking at the stars for centuries. Mm-hmm. And indeed, some of those historical references they gave you earlier are things that are founded over the years, which I think fascinate me, that people have always had this fascination with the heavens, and we're still as fascinated today. And as I said, you don't need to know what you're looking at to enjoy something. We all do that. We watch the TT races. You don't know the names of all the riders coming around. You just marvel at the scenery. Well, space and astronomy is just the same thing. It's an awareness of what you can see and what you've got there to look at, but enjoying it. And maybe it gives you the hunger to know a little bit more about it, and that's what it's about.
Well, without going through everything that we've learnt this evening and everything we've seen, we had quite a detailed presentation about some of the links the Isle of Man has all over the world.
Yes.
A bit of a look at what we could see with the naked eye outside, and then a bit of a look in the dome as well. So those are the sort of three main parts, I suppose.
That's right. I mean, that's the way we've done it. And then regardless of the weather, we start off the evening, if people want to come along to it, with a talk. If it's a clear night, it'll be a shorter talk. If it's a cloudy night, it's a longer talk. Then we split the group into two halves. Half go upstairs to the dome and they look at our telescope, and they can look at the telescopes and see how it's driven by the computers, which points it in the right direction. It keeps the object in the field of view. despite the fact that the Earth is spinning around at its rapid speed, and the telescope keeps the object right in the middle, and that's fascinating for people to see. The acoustics up there, you probably noticed, are quite dramatic.
Really, quite disorientating.
Very much so, especially when you have a group of school children up there, and they start whispering to each other, and then some of the other side, the dome, says, you say that so-and-so. But then what we do is the other half, the other 20 who didn't go up to the dome, they go outside and look at the night sky. I mean, even tonight we got outside and had a quick look at the various. You were with me in the first group, weren't you?
The first group, yeah.
And we went outside and we actually saw the moon and Mars and a few bright stars. And then we swap over, have a cup of tea and a biscuit, and then send everyone on the way home. And everybody who seems to have come really have enjoyed it. And we're just overwhelmed how popular the ticket sales have been. And we've already sold out the January event,
yeah.
Which is at the last Friday of January. We're doing these on the last Friday of each month. And we're going to do one at the end of February and the end of March. But the tickets for those won't be on sale until probably the new year.
And so this is something certainly that's going to continue for the next few months. Do you foresee it continuing past that too?
Probably not. We're probably going to run it till the end of March, maybe April. We haven't really decided yet. But then we'll take a break for the summer months because it is too light to see anything in the sky if it is clear. The astronomical year, most astronomers will tell you that the astronomical year runs from about September through to about May time. Basically, when the clocks go back is the best time to do astronomy. So we're going to mirror that. And hopefully we'll be doing these again at the end of next year as well. And as long as there's a demand for doing them, we will carry on doing them. And we're just very grateful for people who have got the interest to come along and support the society. And obviously that adds to our ability to get other machines and equipment and everything else and to keep going on with the subject of astronomy in the Isle of Man.
You mentioned the speed at which the tickets sold out for each of the respective events. Has feedback been as positive as demand?
Yes, I have. I mean, obviously, there's disappointment tonight wasn't clear, although, to be honest with you, we were disappointed it wasn't clear tonight, but everyone seems to have enjoyed it. We've been talking to, I've had a great time, and everyone's told some fascinating little stories about their own astronomical interest.
Yes.
And people didn't know this place existed. It's just hard for us to believe because we've had it now for over 20 years. And as long as people have an interest, we will keep doing these sort of things, and hopefully people look up at the night sky and wonder a bit like we do at what they can look at and what they can see.
So is it hoped that events like this, and you've mentioned that you do them with school parties and with different kind of social groups as well, is it aimed to be some sort of gateway drug to get people interested more?
Yes, it's what we want this to be is an introduction to the, not just what we do as a society, but an introduction to astronomy in general.
Yeah.
And astronomy encompasses so much. I mean, you can do daytime astronomy, looking at the sun with proper protective equipment, of course. You can look at meteors, you can look at deep space objects, aurora spotting, space flight. I mean, the subject of space exploration at the moment is just growing exponentially. I mean, we're talking outside before about the three spacecraft on the way to Mars. The amount of news that's going to generate next March is going to be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And there never seems to be a week without some story about astronomy or space in the news media. And I think it's people have got a far greater interest in their environment than they ever used to have. Yes, you can stay at home and watch TV and whatever you want to do, but as has been evidenced by these events and other events we as a society have done, and I've done myself, there's a hunger for activities. I think the COVID virus is one of the side effects of that, if that's the right word, is that people have become more aware of their community and their own environment and want to know what is on their own doorstep. And that's why I think so many people are interested in this. Although I suspect we're going to sell out now right through till the end of March when we have our last one this season, if you like. But I'm already thinking next back end we'll be doing the same again and hope the ticket sales will be just as well.
You mentioned the strange circumstances we find ourselves living in 2020. Do you think that's piqued people's interests?
Yes, I think it's piqued people's interest about all variety of subjects. I know for a fact that if you different societies and organisations I'm involved with, the numbers attending events on the island is astronomical, I think is the word I'd use. And not just us, of course, as I mentioned, but other organisations. And I think there's a hunger for, as I say, activities that are community-based and meeting people who are enthusiastic about what they do and what they talk about. I mean, I gave a talk a few weeks ago down at the Sound. And normally when I do a talk, you might get 60 people, 70 people, whatever. It was a complete sellout. But what amazed me is I didn't know anybody. They were all newcomers. Now, okay, it was an after-dinner talk. It was a speech about the Hubble Space Telescope. But I think people just wanted to go out rather than stay in. These events we've done here, I actually monitored the sales of the tickets for the January event. I put them on sale at 9:38 at night on a Sunday. I woke up the next morning, and by the time I had my breakfast and looked at my computer, by 9:13 the next morning, every ticket had been sold, less than 12 hours on a Sunday night. That gives you some idea of the thirst for activities. And we're not crazy. We understand that astronomy is not the only subject that's around there for people to look at and see. But there's a hunger for it, I think. And long may it continue. And hopefully that will be one of the positive effects that have come out of this horrible situation we found ourselves in 2020. And as we go forward into 2021, hopefully people will maintain that interest and that enthusiasm. And with a bit of luck, it'll follow through to events like this and hopefully others besides.
If people come to an event like this, or just have an existing interest anyway, what's the next step, I suppose, if they want to get involved more?
Well, what we've said to everybody tonight, and we said it the other night, is if people are interested at all, we meet as a society once a month on the first Thursday of every month at 8 o'clock. And so anybody is welcome to come to those meetings. You can come along at 8 o'clock. We ask for a small fee, which I think is £4, as a guest. Yeah. And we encourage people to come at least once, and then hopefully they will join the society. It's not that expensive. I think it's £25 a year to be a member. You have access to the observatory. We do have members' nights. We have club nights. We have social events. And, of course, that is something then they can tap into the experience and the expertise some of our members have got on about telescopes or stargazing or any aspect of space and exploration and astronomy, and then they can obviously learn more and more as they go along, and who knows what that might lead to.
You spoke about some of the links the Isle of Man has with space and with space exploration. Namely, one of the society's members is somebody who's very much seen space firsthand.
Well, that was incredible. I mean, I kid you no lie, I could talk about this all night. I had a phone call back in the year 2001 from a gentleman called Chris Stott, who wanted to come to have a look at the observatory. He had set up Mansat, his company, which was doing work with the Manx government on space licensing and all this sort of stuff. He came up to the observatory to see me, and he showed him round, and he said, "Did you know my wife was an astronaut?" I didn't believe it for one minute. I thought, no, you're having me on. But he looked it up, and of course, yes, she was an astronaut. Nicole Stott had become an astronaut in the year 2000. She was eventually became a fully-fledged, trained astronaut, and in 2009 she took her first space flight. And you saw the picture I showed there, which she sent. I mean, me, as a whatever age I was at the time, getting this email from an astronaut in space was just incredible. And I show that picture now and I still get a feeling in the back of my throat about it. It's incredible. But what was even more incredible was Nicole and Chris, very kindly, when she was up in space the first time, she travelled twice into space, they asked me to host a live link with her at the Manx Museum. And we couldn't tell anyone about this because it was using NASA's, or the American taxpayers' money to fund this. So we had a live link with her at the Manx Museum, and 12 school children came up and asked questions. And for the day, or for an hour, I was Capcom. I was the guy communicating with the space station up in orbit. And that, to me, was one of my highlights of my astronomical space career. And then Nicole has been back here repeatedly on more than one occasion. I was only speaking to her a few days ago. We did a celebration of the 20th year of the International Space Station. We did another link up with school children. And that, I think, is what amazes me, is this lady, as I mentioned before about looking at Saturn through the telescope, she's an ambassador for the subject of space around the world. And it's incredible the knowledge she's got, the experience she's got, and to share that with children, especially who are the next generation of astronomers, I think is incredible. And that ability to do so, I take my hat off to it, and I'm just delighted to be involved with it in the way that I am, and long may it continue.
That was Howard Parkin, Vice Chairman of the Isle of Man Astronomical Society, speaking to me at the end of the second Night at the Observatory event on the 27th of November 2020. But just before I left for the evening, I had a bit more of an explore around the facility and came across a side room full of equipment. I asked a third member of the committee to show me round.
Good evening, I'm Mike Newby. I'm a sort of a member and one of the directors of the Isle of Man Astronomical Society. I've been involved with the society for 10 years, I think now, maybe even 15 years, thinking about it.
Thank you very much. Now, tell me a bit about, well, what's in front of us to the untrained eye.
Well, we've got a number of telescopes here. These have all been donated to the society by people who are of no longer any use for them. Some of them are very basic telescopes, like the Jessop's telescope over on the side there, which is a good basic telescope, but the problem with them is that the tripod won't be very stable and the quality of the lenses might be a little disappointing. But even with all of that, if the telescope isn't adjusted properly, you won't get a very good image from it. So if anyone has got a telescope at home which they've been terribly disappointed with, don't give up completely. Have somebody have a look at it for you, and people from the Astronomy Society would be happy to do that if you come along to one of the club nights and say, yes, this is the best image you can get, or no, by just making a few adjustments, you can actually get a tremendous image.
This is a process that you sort of experienced firsthand. I was eavesdropping before as you were speaking to a couple of the other guests tonight about your kind of first experience with equipment. Now, this is in the UK.
Yep. My uncle introduced me to astronomy when I was very young, and he produced a sort of a really ancient telescope. We looked at Saturn. I then went and lived in Manchester. Some of my friends bought me a telescope for Christmas, and they knew I was very interested and really excited to get this outside. And the first problem we had was the sky was orange. So it was we lived near the airport, and the street lights from the main A roads running out of Manchester, if there's even a tiny bit of cloud in the sky, make the entire sky orange, so you can't see anything. You're struggling to see the moon. So you'd have to take it out into the country somewhere.
Yep.
So I took my telescope out into the country and set it up in the dark, which is another big mistake, because I wasn't sure what I was expecting to see. And I got this wobbly telescope out in the dark, out of the back of my car, at one of the country parks at night, trying to look at the moon and the stars, and I could see nothing. After that experience, I thought, oh, it's a waste of time. Maybe the telescope isn't any good. And I just put it away in the cupboard. And it wasn't until I came over to the island that I took up an interest again in astronomy.
Did you later find out what the problems were with said equipment and said setup?
I'm afraid that particular telescope I gave away. I was just so disappointed with it. But I've since helped people who have had a similar setup to make it work properly. And the first thing you do with a telescope, you never look at the sun, but set your telescope up during the daytime. Look at a nearby church spire or a chimney on somebody's house and just set it up. And if you can see a magnified image of the chimney, there's a good chance you'd be able to see a magnified image of the moon at night. So when you then get it out later that evening to have a look at the moon, you know it's in focus. You know kind of what level of magnification you expect to see, and so you're starting off from a strong point.
Are there any sort of beginner's tips for people who are perhaps looking to get started with a first bit of kit or a first experience or anything like that?
Yeah, I would say probably don't go out and buy an expensive telescope. Get something simple like a set of binoculars, which if you decide you don't like astronomy, you can then look at the Ben McGree coming in on a stormy day.
A bit more versatile.
Or use it for watching seabirds and things. But it's equally good for looking up at the moon and the stars. You won't see a particularly detailed image, but you'll see a lot more than you would with the naked eye. There's a number of apps for the phones, and you can see a pattern in the sky, and you say, I wonder what that is. And you get the app out, you point your phone at that particular part of the sky, and it'll tell you what the stars are or the planets are in that particular area. So that just gives you a little bit of a hint as to then what you might see if you were to look at it in a bit more detail with a telescope.
Do you have any kind of favourite experiences or any highlights or anything like that?
Well, I enjoy looking at the moon because it is a nice feature to look at, and you don't have to have a full moon for it, a partial moon. You get better views because you see the craters with shadows coming off them. Mm-hmm. So I love looking at the moon with a telescope, or just even sort of going out with naked eye astronomy, looking at meteor showers. You know when to expect them on a really dark night, just looking up at the heavens and then wonder of the beauty of it all.
That was Mike Newby, one of the directors of the Astronomical Society, speaking to me at the observatory where the group is based. As we heard from Howard Parkin, there are more open nights scheduled to take place in the new year, once a month, where members of the public can go and have a look around. I honestly cannot recommend it enough.
Nose gear touchdown. Having fired the imagination of a generation, a ship like no other, its place in history secured, the space shuttle pulls into port for the last time. Its voyage at an end.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth.
Carl Sagan, an American scientist, astronomer, and author, is quoted as saying, "There is perhaps no better a demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world." It's good to be curious. Guru Mayu, thank you for listening, and take care.